Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
This week in the House began, as usual, on Tuesday with question time, which was followed by the government flying through its first parliamentary warrant of fitness check of the year. That's the vote on the Prime Minister's motion of confidence in himself and his government that launched the 15-hour debate on the Prime Minister's statement, which had 22 minutes to go on Tuesday and ended with the House dividing along the usual party lines in a result announced by Assistant Speaker Rick Barker.
Members, the ayes are 67, the noes are 52. The motion is agreed to.
67 plus 52 equals 119, three short of the total of 122 MPs in this Parliament. Missing in action were Rebel Labour MP Chris Carter, former National Minister Pansy Wong, whose resignation late last year created a vacancy in the Auckland seat of Botany, and one of the five Māori MPs, which drew comment from Labour's new shadow leader of the House, Trevor Mallard.
I think we're all aware that that there are enough Māori Party members in the House to vote five. Is this an indication that Mr Harawira's vote should be given
order,
separately?
Order, no. Order, the member can't use a point of order for that. It's entirely up to the party how they cast the votes and how many they cast. The one thing they can't do is cast more votes than they've got allocated seats. But parties can, if they so choose, cast less.
Not less, Mr Barker, fewer, a common grammatical slip that Mr Mallard, a former teacher, can never resist correcting. That out of the way, the House made a start on the first bills on the government's order paper, returning to the chamber at 11 the next morning to hear an address from Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard. Although MPs were in their seats and the public galleries were packed with foreign diplomats and official guests, one thing was conspicuous for its absence. That was the mace, the symbol of Parliament's authority, which sits on the table when the House is sitting, which it wasn't on Wednesday morning. Ms Gillard nevertheless made history by becoming the first foreign leader to speak in the debating chamber, a significant event as noted by the Greens' Sue Kedgley in Wednesday's general debate.
It's interesting that we won't allow the Queen or the Governor-General to address our Parliament when it's in session in this chamber, and yet most parties were only too eager to abandon this convention.
Another convention that received scrutiny this week was the way that Cabinet Ministers are bound by collective responsibility, the object of this question on Wednesday for the Prime Minister John Key from Labour's Associate Māori Affairs Spokesman Shane Jones.
When the Honourable Peter Sharples called on the Minister of Local Government to resign if he could not accept the decision to set up Auckland Council's Māori Statutory Board, was he correctly reflecting the requirement of paragraph 5.26 of the Cabinet Manual that reads, any public disassociation from Cabinet decisions by individual ministers outside the agreed processes is unacceptable?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no. Actually, we've made it clear to Mr Sharples' office that when he makes comments of those regards, he should be doing them as the Minister of Māori Affairs. That's exactly the point he was making, but he incorrectly put it on his ministerial letterhead.
Mr Key also faced this question from Labour's spokesman on local government, Phil Twyford.
Does he hold the Honourable Rodney Hyde responsible for Part 7 of the Local Government Auckland Council Amendment Act?
That governs the establishment of the controversial Māori Statutory Advisory Board, and Mr Key's expression of his continued confidence in the Act Leader's performance as his Minister of Local Government prompted Phil Twyford to complain to the Speaker.
Mr Speaker, this question tries to go to the heart of what Question Time's for. It's asking, is the Minister held responsible for the content and the effect of legislation that is passed in his name? That is the intent of this question, and the Prime Minister hasn't addressed it.
Lockwood Smith disagreed.
The nature of the legislation is a matter for this House. Of course, the administration of the Act is something that the Minister is responsible for, but not the Act itself.
And while no new Acts were passed this week, the government made progress on several bills and sent three new ones off to select committees, although a move to allow the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee to meet an extra time drew this protest from Labour's spokeswoman on transport safety, Darian Fenton.
Why are we doing this? It's an abuse of the process. I mean, once again, why is it always on the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee that we get this resolution to be able to meet at any time during the House's sitting, blah, blah, blah?
And Darian Fenton's counterpart in the Greens, Gareth Hughes, also had something he wanted to confess.
Members might not know this about me, but growing up in Gisborne, I was a boy racer. I'm not your typical greenie who's opposed to every single road and hugging trees.
And Gareth Hughes and the Greens joined up with Labour MPs on Wednesday night to mount a filibuster to keep the ACT Party's members' bill to abolish compulsory membership of student unions firmly bogged down in its committee stage. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.